Shalom everyone, and we are learning today about the month of Cheshvan, Scorpio. It is a very powerful month, as we learned before, but especially this day, 2024, or more important, the Hebrew year of 5785. This month is basically kind of blowing the horn for the great race that is starting. Let me explain. On a very basic idea, whoever studies some Kabbalah, we understand that on Rosh Hashanah, that is celebrated a month before the new moon of Cheshvan or Scorpio, the whole world, every human soul, is starting to go through a process in which the Creator is disassembling every human soul, and it takes him 22 days to rebuild, restart, reassemble, and also debug as much as possible of all human souls. The point is that most humans are not really cooperating with it, are not really aware with that. However, we need that in order to be able to start a new cycle, a new year, that every year is another cycle that allows every human being to move up the ladder or up the scale in order to complete the journey, the personal journey, and the journey of all of humanity towards unity, awareness, enlightenment, and so on and so forth. So the moment the month of Tishrei, Libra, is over, the beginning of the month of Cheshvan, Scorpio, is very special, because after we went through this overall of refreshing, debugging, kind of rebuilding, and also coming back to ourselves, our true selves, for every human being, but especially when you're aware to the process, like we studied, and you can listen about it in this channel, where when you go to the study of Tishrei, the month of Tishrei, the month of Libra, from the Kabbalistic point of view. Now, what happens to a car? Let's say you have a very collective, a collectible item, a car that form a very special car, a very old car from the 60s or 50s, but it doesn't drive anymore. So you give it to a special garage, and over there they disassemble the car, put it together after cleaning everything, replacing broken parts. And now you put the car together. What do you do? The first thing you have to do is stress test. And the month of Cheshvan, the month of Scorpio, is the stress test. It's a month that is blessed with a lot of drive, power, testing everyone to his limits. So during this month, we can understand what is that we did not correct, fix, transform during the past year, and especially the past month, the month of Tishrei, during the high holidays. What is that we did not complete? What is that we did not correct? What is that we did not take the opportunity and step up and take responsibility for a certain tikkun, a certain aspect in our lives? Because just remember, from a Kabbalistic point of view, when somebody has a problem and a human being has a weakness, the weakness is not bad. The weakness is an opportunity. The same way, when you buy a real estate, you can make the most money on broken real estate. Real estate that is already upgraded, maybe it is totally new, or maybe it's already been renovated, to the highest quality, you can't make too much money out of that piece of real estate. But when it is a broken real estate, a house, a building, whatever, and you renovate it, that's where is the big money is. So when we come to the world, we're not here to be perfect. Remember that. A lot of people make a mistake. We are not here to be perfect. We're here to perfect. The highest revenue in a human life is not being achieved by being a nice person. The highest revenue as a soul is when you have a terrible problem, emotionally, mentally, behavioral, whatever, and you work hard and you correct it and you take that broken part in you and you fix it. This is where you get the biggest amount of spiritual light, fulfillment, and more than that, the feeling of achievement. I came to this world not for nothing. I made it. I did something, which means finding what's wrong with me and then focusing on correcting it, fixing it, transforming it. This is the basic idea of life. So whoever has problems because I'm not the best person, I'm not the most complete person, I have so many problems, that's not a problem. That's an opportunity, which means so many problems means a lot of opportunities to achieve greatness. Greatness cannot be achieved by being born a nice person, a perfect person, a noble person with high qualities. If you're born with that, where is your job? Where is your duty? The time to find what's wrong with us is Scorpio. With all the pressure, with all the anxieties, with all the stress, with all the competition, with all the drive. And that's why if you are a spiritual person, the month of Scorpio is a month full of bliss because of that power, because of its stress test, because many of your system will be driven full gas, which means with full energy, full blast. You can achieve, we all can achieve on a personal level, we all can achieve during this month what we are not going to be able to achieve in the following months after that. So set yourself goals, don't make too many goals, just very few, and go for it. Use the drive, use the wave, use the push and the pressure in order to get the best out of yourself. So in a month from now, you can look backwards and say, I'm proud of what I have become. That's on a personal note. However, because the month of Scorpio is the opening of the season of the whole year, this year is special. This year, first of all, whoever listened to my teachings 5 years ago, that was when it was the Hebrew year of 5780. I said that according to the Kabbalistic teachings, the number 780 is one of the most magical, powerful numbers. The number 780 is the number that is called Mazala. It's basically 78 times 10. Whoever knows about the 13 attributes, the ability to draw the highest level of bliss, compassion, and transformation from the source of love, light, and the creation. This is the number 780. Now, because humanity arrived to that year, 780, in the sixth millennium, we I said we are facing an era in which the original plans of the Creator will go in full blast, trying to force us in order to follow our mission as humans, as souls that came from a very high place. All souls came from the endless light. All souls came from unity, wholeness, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We came from that place. We are going back to that place. However, when we look around, 5 years ago, 5 years ago, like just before the year 780, the world was in a frenzy of materialism, a frenzy, a crazy frenzy. People were busy making money, spending it, and being totally slaves to just achieving material comfort and excitement, which is exactly the opposite of every human's goal. We were so much lacking, we didn't even realize that. And then came the corona that stopped the frenzy, froze the rush, and locked us home so we can sit in the corner and think, who are we and what is it we want to become? A lot of people learned, most people didn't really get it. And then the storms that followed later, either on the level of economy, politics, society, personal transformation, the pressure is getting stronger and stronger, and the world is moving forward in a very, very fast pace. And most people are either perplexed, upset, scared, anxious, because most people don't really understand why is it that it's like the Creator is pulling the carpet under our feet. And whatever looked like something you can count on for a better future is simply disappearing gradually. I'll give you an example. I cannot explain what is going to happen in the next 5 years. What's going to happen in the next 5 years, especially this coming year, is going to be very revolutionary. The transformation is so much beyond what we can understand. It's like if you think about a caterpillar has a life. It's very clear what it's supposed to do. A caterpillar cannot understand and figure out what does it mean to be in a cocoon. And when it's in a cocoon, it has no idea what does it mean to be a butterfly. It is focused on its own stage. Well, the next stage is so different than that stage. You cannot explain to caterpillar what does it mean to be a cocoon. You cannot explain to cocoon what does it mean to be a beautiful butterfly flying in the sunlight from one flower to another. This is a totally like different frame. This is what humanity is going through. There's no way to explain logically how we are going to feel after we go through the crises, the transformations. Same way, it's almost impossible to go to somebody who li is living in the year 1985, okay, whoever remembers that time was that old, and to explain to him what does it mean to live in a world without the Soviet Union. I'm talking about even 1989. Without the Soviet Union, with the internet, with smartphones almost to everyone, it's such a different way of living and perception of reality. This is the scale that we are going through, but it's even more exaggerated. I'll explain why. In the coming year, astrologically, humanity is in a transition that I didn't figure it out, but I think that the intensity of such a transition was not never didn't happen for thousands and thousands of years, maybe never in the history of humanity. And let's just see. We have, according to the Book of Formation, the three basic forces of the creation are symbolized by three letters: Aleph, Mem, Shin, Emesh. These three forces, they manifest in modern astrology in the three outer planets that were discovered only lately along human history, very lately, and they move very slowly. Therefore, their influence on humanity is on a grand scale of large-scale transformations. The top of them, the leader of all of them, which is represented by the letter Shin, which is Esh, fire, is Pluto. Pluto is moving in a few days into Aquarius. What does that mean? Pluto is like the energy of moving humanity towards its calling. It's moving very slow, relatively to our time. One cycle of Pluto is 248 years, which is exactly Ramah, 248 organs in the human body, in the human soul. It's the also Abraham, and the journey of Abraham is the journey to show humanity that we're here to find grace, love, unity, and godliness for each one of us. 248 years ago, the year was 1776. That was the American Revolution. And that meant we, the people. Pluto is 248 years later. Now, Pluto is moving again into Aquarius, which means the revolution that the American Revolution symbolized. Humanity moved into an era in which the flag of freedom, the flag of democracy, the flag of the freedom to ha have access to your own happiness, all of those messages that Abraham started this week, in this week's reading, Lech Lecha, the message to move on and show humanity that we are transformative creatures. We are here to transform because there's a great future awaiting each one of us. The American Revolution symbolized social mobility, equality, and most important, the right for happiness. Did the American Revolution did it immediately? No. No. There were millions of slaves. The whole American economy was built on millions of slaves. It took America long years in order to get out of debt. However, the message was out, and the message started to change the whole of humanity. A few years later, 1789, was the French Revolution. Okay? And then today, 248 years later, I think that most of the nations of the world adopted some basic ideas from the American Constitution, especially declaratively. At least when you talk about it, finally you become it. As long as you talk about it, and then it takes a while till you realize that that's what you're going to be. That's what you're going to do. So something that is so powerful, like Pluto moving into Aquarius, which means the whole way a human society perceives itself as a community on a large scale with nations associating today together, the United States of America, okay, which is pluralism, the ability to be tolerant to people who are different than you, to respect them, to allow them to contribute to the great whole. These ideas are starting to move forward this year, and that's going to be revolutions in the way we think, in the way our politics look like, everything. But that's not enough. It's not the only shift and transition that is happening. There's another one. I said there are three letters. The second letters from they're called the mother letters of the creation. The second letter is Mem. The Mem symbolizes the element of water, Neptune. This year, the coming few months, Neptune, the planet Neptune, that is water, emotions, deep stuff, giving, chesed, loving, and so on. Neptune is moving into Aries. That happens only once in every 163 years ago. 3 years. Okay. What happened 160 years ago, 63 years ago? That was the American Civil War. 1861. That was the next stage of America realizing if you want to be a democracy and a beacon of light to the whole world, you must liberate the slaves. So now, the chances that, like, Pluto is moving to Aquarius and Neptune is moving to Aries in the same year, in the same year. The probability is very low. But that's not the only thing. The third letter is Aleph. Aleph is air, avir, the element of air, which means intellect, moving, like free movement of knowledge, information. Uranus, that's planet Uranus. And Uranus is moving into Gemini. And what is Gemini? Communication. Communication. Delivering ideas, delivering information without boundaries. And Uranus has the power to break those boundaries. That happens only once in 84 years. 84 years ago, that was 1940. 1940, we are talking about World War II, another huge revolution that changed the way humanity perceives itself. And we have another big shift. This is just under the three top powerful planets. That's the top planet of the other seven, Saturn. Saturn is shifting, is moving in transition into Aries. That happens once every 90 to 29 years. Now, if you notice what we have over here, Pluto is moving into Aquarius, Neptune into Aries, Uranus into Gemini, Saturn into Aries. What's in common? All of these signs are air and fire. Air and fire, these are, according to Rabbi Zachariah, these are the male signs. And that means, creativity, reinvention, moving out of older forms and creating new ones. And when we have all those four planets shifting in 1 year, I don't know if somebody will make the years. I think that is something only that can happen once in many, many, many thousands of years. Maybe the first time in the history of humanity, since we remember ourselves, that this transition is happening in such a scale. And that means that we are only in halfway into that decade of 780. Okay, so what does that mean for all of us? It means that, as I said before, about the caterpillar becoming a cocoon, becoming a butterfly, we have no idea how our lives are going to look like in 5 years from now, maybe even in a year from now. But we have to embrace ourselves in one way, in one way only. As we go back to the Zohar, Parashat Shmot, verse 90 by the Pirush HaSulam of Rabbi Ashlag, where it says as follows: Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai nasa yadav, bacha ve'amar, oy lemi sheikre bador hazeh, v'ashrei mi sheikre v'yochal l'imatze bador hazeh. Translation: Rabbi Shimon raised his hands, cried, and said, "Whoa!" Or I don't know if you can translate it. Oy. It's going to be oy, painful for the ones who will live in that generation. It's going to be happy, ashrei, an amazing time for the ones who live at that generation with emunah, with real faith, connection to the spiritual forces of the universe, and especially to the idea of human calling, being a magical creature that connects with everything it does, connects the heaven and the earth. Action and ideas, words and intention, vision of unity, love, honesty, integrity, together with every physical action in every aspect of the everyday life. This is called the covenant. Whoever is going simply to focus during this year into finding that aspect of his or her soul, the emunah, the faith, the connection, the spiritual dimension of everything I do, either it's my profession, either it's my personal life, my community life, the whole idea of how we humans perceive ourselves as individuals and as individuals inside a community. And the community, like the immediate community, which is very important, like the people you see every day at work, your neighbors, your neighborhood, the people you associate with everything under a great idea that whatever we do is just to serve the idea that the Creator is above everything, beyond everything, inside everything. And our job is to simply show that in everything we do and we create. If we do that, as Rabbi Shimon is saying in the Zohar, this year, the coming year, will be very, very, very interesting, not easy, transformative, but we are going to experience growth like never before. On the other hand, if we will try to go to stick to the past and try to hold on to our old behavior patterns, that's going to be really, really painful, because those four planets, when they come into action, and especially with so much vigor, fire and air, we know when there's a lot of air, you know, when whoever ever did barbecue, okay, you light the fire, but then you need to fan it with air. If there's not enough air, the fire won't rise. Now we have the air and the fire, and it's all like super powerful. This synchronicity, convergence of forces is so unique that for some people, That's going to be an amazing way to redefine what does it mean to be a human being? What does it mean to be part of a human society? As I said, in the immediate connection, and also whatever you see over here, that's going to be the whole way of changing. It's a process that is going to change the whole way that humanity is basically defining itself as a congregation of nations. The whole idea of the UN is going to be totally transformed. All the corrupt aspects over there, it's like that went so much far away from the founding fathers of the UN as a result of the horrors of World War II. Now, that's going to fall apart and has to be rebuilt. The same way that the League of Nations had to come to its end and the UN has to be rebuilt, same way the UN has to come to its end and a new way of putting or organizing nations together, alignments of coalitions of nations for a purpose. All of that is going to be redefined. So we are not supposed to get upset. Why? Because this decade that we have all, we are already only in the middle of it. And so many things happened during the last 5 years that, you know, just the corona, if you remember, it's like that was not long time ago. And humanity had to redefine itself. And all the revolutions that came afterwards, politically, economically, and in all aspects of culture, civilization, and so on. There's so much to change. And for a lot of people, there's a lot of anxiety because there's so much that comes up to the surface of corruption, of realizing that we don't really live in a true democracy. Of course, was 1776 a democracy in America? No. But it was a large step forward. Was 1860 the Civil War in America? Did America become really a democracy? No, there was still problems with, you know, speaking about the rights of the black community in America till not long ago, till a few decades ago, and the fight is still going on. Okay, but we have to remember we live in a world that is structured on one very important word, evolution. Things don't happen just like this. We thought things can happen just like this. Oh, we want immediate transformation that everything should be perfect right now. It doesn't work this way. Human societies and individuals, they move gradually. We have to respect the process, admire the process, realize that the process that started with the journey of Abram to the land of Canaan to bring the message of one God that loves his creatures, all of them, all of them, in the same way. Some of them can connect to that love in a better way, and some of them they have to go through more cycles till they realize what this love means. But we perceive the Creator and His love on the base of our own process and our own place all during the journey. The more we occupy ourselves with the spiritual study, and the more we try to apply that spiritual study into everything we do in everyday's life, the better we'll be. So it's going to be this year, it's going to be an amazing, powerful, productive, creative year of moving humanity into a eons forward for a lot of us. But if you've seen the movie Gone with the Wind, for a lot of people, that was the end of their lives, the end of their culture, civilization. Because when forces like this come together to move humanity forever, do not stick to the past. There's nothing to look for in the past. Look forwards to the future with hope, anticipation, be resilient, be excited about it, and be resilient in being optimistic and full of hope, because that will give you the power to move forward and get all the great benefits of this year, 5785. And of course, the years will come later, that by the end of that progress, we will redefine ourselves. And it's going to be much, much better. Remember, whatever we see that is wrong with human behavior, with our own personal life, with the whatever the structures that humanity created in the last few decades and centuries, and we see it's wrong. Whatever you look at, it's like all what we see that is wrong is an opportunity for change, for transformation, for growth. Why are we so bothered by that? Because we are aware of it. It's not that the problem did not exist before, but we were not aware of it. We did not feel responsible for that. We were not upset about it because we didn't have any hope that that ever going to be changed. So we should anticipate great, great messages of transformation for all of us. And life is forcing us to move forward because humans are usually quite lazy kind of beings. And we have the intention to preserve everything the way it used to be. And we're trying to stick to the great moments of the past. You know what does it mean to try to stick to the great moments of the past? That's called aging. It means you have no future, you only have a past. And aging people, they are dying. Young people, it doesn't matter about how old are you. You know, you could be 90 years old and you're young. Why? Because you're looking forwards with anticipation, with excitement, because you have emunah, you have the trust and the connection that you know that things are only getting better. And there's yirida letzoch aliyah, which is a very important phrase in Hebrew. When everything looks that it's going down the hill, it's because it's taking the momentum to go up the hill in the next, after the hill is over. So remember that even if it looks going down the hill and things are going horribly bad, it's only an opportunity of recreating our society anew. So we have to stick to those ideas that Abram started his journey with, which is mercy, love, equality, respect, and being loyal to the covenant with the force that created this universe, that we can see its rules in the Torah and the commentaries that come out of the Torah. So let's move on with the less important part, which is Scorpio. Now, how do we define Scorpio Kabbalistically? Which means, how do we understand this month? Because one of the major things that we learn through Kabbalah, that knowledge is power. The moment you know why, you have better ability to deal with what and how. So, why is Scorpio such an intense sign? Why is it that, typical Scorpio, human beings who are born in the month of Scorpio, they love extremes. They're very, they can't stand lukewarm people. They can't stand when things are stable and nice without any movements. They have to create a kind of a duel, a battle, a war, in order to get into life. How does that happen? Like, why is that? The nature of Scorpio, why is it? They like to extreme. They like the fear and the challenge. They like to be involved with wars and anything that is on the edge of life and death, fear and stuff like this. So, first of all, we started by understanding that the year, the astrological year, according to Kabbalah, according to the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation, is made of four seasons mathematically. Why? Because the movement of the planet Earth is in elliptic around. It's not a complete circle, it is elliptic. If you learn a little bit of geometry, elliptic, that means that you have four points of transformation. The equinox, day and night are equal, the longest day, the longest night, okay? And around this axis of four points, you have four seasons. And these four seasons, they represent the four main forces that created the universe, okay? That are also known by the ancients as the elements of fire, water, air, and earth. We're not talking about fire as a chemical reaction or water as a molecule of H2O. We're talking about the cosmic forces that these physical elements or physical appearances, they represent. So the fire, the element of fire, is representing the Hebrew letter Yud, Sfirat Chochmah, and that means energy, creativity when it comes down to a physical world. Okay, fire is energy, raw force of energy. Now, we right now, we use electricity, but electricity is being created in the power stations from usually different kinds of fire, either fire that is made from a different kind of fuels or atomic kind of a it's heat and fire, energy. Our culture is based on fire and energy. Everything, and it started with the Industrial Revolution, 1740. The Industrial Revolution was the first time that we took fire and harness it in a way to create industry in a level that humanity never figured out before that. Okay, why 1740? That was 5500 in the Hebrew calendar, and it was time to move on to the Messianic era of fast movement, mass production, and education and access to books, information. We live in the age of information that could not happen without the Industrial Revolution. Okay, so this is fire, and that's a spring. The summer is water. Water is the energy of emotions, sharing and giving. And then comes the fall. This is the energy of the element air, intellect, and balance. And that means that all three signs of the fall, Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, as we see, they are basically at the core level, they are air signs. And we know that air signs, not like common astrology, what I'm saying, it's in the core level. All three signs, Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, are very smart. They're very intellectual. They're very much into study. They appreciate wisdom, each one from a different aspect, but they appreciate wisdom. They don't like and don't have patience for stupidity and slowness. Okay, all three. This is very much air. At the core, it is air. Another thing, air is balance. justice and balance. They're very, very sensitive to injustice, very, very sensitive to imbalance. Okay, as I said, all three react differently when they meet imbalance, injustice, but they're very sensitive to that because they're always moving towards finding balance and bringing balance to to themselves and their surrounding. Now, the three signs of the fall, as we said, Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, there's inner division. Like you see it every season, you have right column, left column, center column, what is known in traditional astrology in different names. I won't go into it, but what's important is that when we speak about right, left, and center, is it's different names for water, fire, air, which means if Scorpio in the corollary is air, because it's the second sign of the fall, it has also fire. And therefore, you can explain from that, the air and fire, that Scorpio are full of energy, very energetic, very passionate. Okay. They are also, according to traditional astrology, water sign, which is emotions. But the energy behind it is so powerful because it has the air and the fire in the background. What can be seen visible is water. And what does it mean, water? Water is emotions. And we know the Scorpions are very, very emotional, more than most of the other signs. And they're so fully acting from their guts. But when they do that, they do it with a lot of energy because, as we said, that's the air and the fire in the background that are pushing them. Okay, so. What do we know from that about Scorpio? On one hand, as we said, their brains, they're smart, they appreciate wisdom, they can tell wisdom when they find it, they follow it, but they're very emotional, sensitive to imbalance, and so they will fight for that. They will fight for balance, they will fight, and that fight is manifested also from other aspects, and then that will bring us into the other layer of what's running the nature of the sign of Scorpio. And what I'm saying is right now that I'm not just talking about people who are born during the sign of Scorpio. I'm saying that all of us, when it's a month of Scorpio, there is kind of an injection of the energy of Scorpio into all of us, and we all become very sensitive to imbalance. We become all very passionate, and we want things to be done now with passion, with power. That could be very constructive. That can be also very destructive. Power is power, and we know that power, when it's being handled right, can build, create, move a lot, everything forwards. Power, when it's being used in the wrong way, is very destructive. And that's why we have people under the sign of Scorpio. We have people that are the sign of Scorpio that are very powerfully creative, productive, contributing human beings. On the other hand, the same people can go through waves of terrible destruction, self-destruction, and destruction all over. And that's why we need right now to add another topic. Because of so much power, we know that the Scorpio, Scor is after the animal that is called scorpion. Okay? This is a very despicable creature. I don't know many people who love scorpions. For most people, just the word makes people hear the word, makes them people shiver. Or seeing a Scorpio is very, very scary. Okay. And a lot of people understand a bit of astrology. When I meet somebody that is a Scorpio, oh, I have to be careful now. They can stink a lot of poison. They can sting themselves and they can sting others. They can be very destructive. However, in ancient astrology, there's another name for Scorpio. And let me explain where it's coming from. One of the most powerful treasure of symbolic symbols, let's say, in Kabbalah is chapter one in the book of Ezekiel. In chapter one in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel sees the famous revelation of Ezekiel's chariot. There are many, many things in the Ezekiel chariot, many, many concepts. All of them are very intrinsic parts of the wisdom of Kabbalah, symbols. You have to study a lot of Kabbalah in order to understand all of that symbolism. This is not a landing of a UFO, like some people think. We're talking about the union between the heavens and the earth, and those symbols will make the connection between the two realms. Now, one of the most famous part of it is the four faces of the chariot. It is called also the four holy beasts, the four Arba Chayot HaKodesh. And in beast is a, I don't know if it's good translation into English, but that's not the story, the case right now. What are the four holy beasts? We have the lion facing the right, which is the symbol of water. Look at our chart, and you see Leo, the lion, which is the middle sign of the summer, which is representing water. Then we have the ox facing the left. If you look at the spring, you see Taurus, which is the ox in the middle of the spring. Okay? And that is, and the ox, the left is fire. Okay? And you see that the spring is the sign of fire. We can also see the fourth one. The fourth is a human being. Okay? Adam. It's called Adam. A human being. If you look at the winter, the middle sign of the winter is Aquarius. But when you look at the symbol, the traditional symbol of Aquarius in many, many ancient traditions, what do you see? You see a man holding a bucket. Or a jar. The bigger part of the picture is the man. And that man is earth, the element of earth, Malchut, the manifestation. And that you can find in the middle of the winter. Okay, what's left? To the center, we have the eagle. We have only one place for the eagle, and that's the middle sign of the fall, Scorpio. And therefore, in ancient astrologies, a Scorpio is also called the eagle. Not all Scorpio are eagles. If the Scorpio is very, very much subjugated to his or her lowly passions, passion for power, passion, any kinds of passions, because, I sat once with a lady, with a bunch of people sitting, and that lady said, "I must eat a watermelon, I'll die if I'm not eating it." "Oh, you're Scorpio." So how did you know? Talking about eating a watermelon with its life of death, only Scorpios can make simple issues into life and death. Extreme. It has to be with full passion. Otherwise, it's not, it can't live just like lukewarm life. You need to make everything a matter of life and death. So if this is on a mundane, materialistic aspect, you're Scorpio. You're dangerous to yourself, you're dangerous to others. But when you turn all of that passion into, and you know, the signs of water have always that tendency to look for mysticism, for something that is beyond what the eyes can see. So you can go into the occult, magic, witchcraft, and stuff like this, whatever is really exciting. Or you can go into real, true spiritual journey of self-transformation and being at service to humanity. And a lot of people from the sign of Scorpio became great, great, great spiritual leaders. For instance, a lot of opinions say that King David was a Scorpio. You can see the fight, the passion, and at the same time, you can feel that passion when you read Psalms. The passion for life, for spirituality, so deep, so powerful, so constructive, so much full of emotions and productive emotions. So this is when a person of the sign of Scorpio is really committing to the covenant with God, with his revelations on earth, and his hook. You can become an eagle, a symbol for balance, a symbol for, you know, broad view of looking, perspective, totally different creature, using all of that passion, all of this energy to soar above everybody else. Even people that are not born under the sign of Scorpio, or let's say they don't have Scorpio rising and many planets in Scorpio, because it's not just people born in Scorpio, you have that influence. Everyone has some Scorpio in his astrological chart. And during this month, everybody has a strong injection of Scorpio. Use it. Find the eagle within you. That eagle that is a symbol of balance, synergy, the ability to unite different forces, different ideas, put them together, synthesize and create something new and unique. Nobody thought about it before. But if you don't, oh, you're going for a rough, rough ride. Let's go to another layer. That layer is about from the book of formation. We have two letters of the Hebrew alphabet. As we said before, there were the three mothers, Emesh, Aleph, Mem, and Shin, that represent those forces that modern astrology call them Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Okay? And we spoke with about their involvement in this year. The other letters, they relate to seven planets and 12 signs. The planet, the ruling planet for Scorpio is Mars, or in Hebrew, Ma'adim, the red planet. And it's being the source, force, frequency of this planet is the Hebrew letter Dalet. Dalet in Hebrew is means dalut, poverty, lack. You look at the letter next to the word Mars, and you see it's empty. It's hungry. Because Martian force is about I don't have, I need. Another real reason why Scorpions have so much passion. Passion that makes everything a war. You can have a holy war to fight all negativity inside yourself and to reach high as an eagle, and then you can achieve greatness that is very hard for other signs to achieve. Or you can be busy fighting everybody, everything about everything. And you'll never be satiated because that's about poverty, that's about lack. And we know the necessity is the mother of all inventions. We know that failure can become a great transition into success. And that goes together with the Hebrew letter Nun for Scorpio. Nun comes from the Hebrew word nefilah, falling. I don't know if this is the way, but the Hebrew verb, or noun, I'm sorry, noun, is nafol. But the Hebrew letter Nun, falling, is usually falling in many places. So if the Nun falls from the word nafol, you're being left with the word fall. And that's what English means for fall. Maybe it's coming from Hebrew. But the Nun is falling, collapsing. So one thing that we know in Jewish astrological tradition, the month of Scorpio, with all the power of Mars and the Nun and the Daled and Pluto, which is also associated with that, has huge power to basically remove stuff that came to the expiration date. For instance, some of the biggest crises in world economy happened in Scorpio. Let's say the Wall Street collapse in 1929 was in Scorpio. Also in 2008 was in Scorpio. We have to remember, but that's you can find that mentioned in many, many Jewish books. Tax hikes, all kinds of stuff like this that really bring the economy into the edge and sometimes into a real depression. The time for that is Scorpio. Not every year. This year, it's very dangerous because there's so much power. You know, the first thing when people feel insecure, they pull the money out of the stock market. So be careful about that stuff. Okay, so if we put together the two letters, we get the word Dan. Dan is the name of the tribe that represent the sign of Scorpio in the Torah. When we're talking about the 12 sons of Jacob, it's not gossip about and all the, you know, dysfunctional family. We are talking about symbolism of the forces in our lives. The tribe of Dan, Dan in Hebrew means judgment. Okay, to judge. The most famous person from the tribe of Dan was Samson, Shimshon. He was a typical Scorpio. Power, fighting for the right thing, not waiting for anyone, making the revolution by yourself, fighting the injustice. Fighting by yourself, might and force, and also falling. The downfall is through falling into sexual passions. And that's what brought Samson to his end. Power has to be handled with care. So this is the sign of Scorpio, a lot of intensive forces. That could be hiking up to the heavens and being an eagle, smart, wise, seeing everything, the proportions, being able to maneuver everything to the right place by seeing the great picture, or being simply a victim to a merry-go-round, and not just a not a merry-go-round. It's like a amusement park, but on a dark side with a lot of ups and downs. That, again, you need the spiritual aspect of emunah and connection and commitment in order to turn all of these energies into productivity. Now, how do we control that time? So the Zohar is giving us the letters combinations of the Tetragrammaton, Vav, Hey, Hey, and Yud, which is initials of Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem. It's a verse that says that everything will turn today into honey. That reminds us that in Jewish tradition, usually the name Cheshvan, the name of this month, has an addition in the beginning, a prefix, Mar. Mar Cheshvan. Mar means bitter. We'll see later why bitter, but Mar, there's bitterness in this month. And we know, as I said many times before, when things are bitter, it's there for us to transform it into sweet. We're not here to achieve a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with achieving a lot of money. But that's not, if, by the way, to achieve your dreams, you achieve a lot of money and you can use it for the benefit of society and yourself, great. But that's not a goal. A lot of people can reach very high level of spirituality and completion without money, without physical force, without longevity. It's like we have a job to make, and the job is, as the Zohar tells us, is whatever bitterness we find in our life, transform it into sweet. Whatever darkness, transform it into light. This is the thing. So when you find pain, misery, suffering, injustice, you're not here to complain about it. You're here to rise above it, to transform it into positive energy. That is the definition of true success. Just being a victim and then take revenge, this is not going to get you where you need. And the month of Scorpio is an amazing opportunity to do that. And that's why that name of God, Vav Hey Hey Yud, Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem, this is the day is to turn everything into honey. That's the slogan of this month. You have also the third line of the Ana Bekoach prayer, Na Gibor Dorshei Yehudecha Kevavat Shomrem, which bring us to the initials of Nun Gimel Daled Yud Kaf Shin. Okay. So those letters have the power to create miracles, according to the Tikkuni Zohar. So this is a time to create miracles. What is the greatest miracle? When a miracle, definition of miracle is when you create something out of nature. When somebody is bitter and miserable and a victim, and he's hateful and upset, and he turns it into creativity and love and positive passion and hope. That's the real only miracle. Everything else is not really a miracle. somebody was saved from death by that's could be a miracle, but everybody who had a miracle is happy, productive, creative, successful human being? No. The miracle is when you can turn the mar, bitter, into dvash, into honey, sweetness of honey. This is when you turn your life into understanding that yes, we have no free will about what's happening to us, but we have the free will how to react to it. When Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi yirat shamayim, the Mishnah says, Ethics of the Fathers, everything is determined by the heavens, except from the awe of heavens, the awe, the awareness of the covenant, of awareness of I'm here for one purpose. I'm not here to be right. I'm not here to be complaining. I'm not here. I'm here to rise above negativity, darkness, and bitterness, and to recreate myself and my environment. This is my purpose. This is my calling. Now we are into a very powerful era in which humanity has to shift forwards into realizing what our real destination is, what our real calling is, not the materialistic aspect. And as I said again, there's nothing wrong with being successful, materialistic, but if you don't do it while at the same time transforming your mind, your consciousness, your emotional level into a productive, positive state of mind, all the money in the world won't help you. You can pay so many shrinks and you can buy so much stuff, but it will only give you a very temporary relief for your pain, because the bitterness is only because you're not rising. And in Hebrew, you take the word mar, turn it around, it's Ram, Avram, which here again, the beginning of Scorpio is always the reading of Parashat Lech Lecha. The original name of Abraham is Avram, the father of rising up above. And that's always in Scorpio. This is the journey. A little more. So we have as we said, the window in meditation is the third line of the name of 742. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can just go to the site livekabbalah.org and look, or simply make a search of the name of 42, Live Kabbalah. That will give you a whole explanation. This is a very powerful prayer and meditation, one of the most powerful ones. Very much recommended, especially these days, to use it daily, at least twice. The window, Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin, the third line, meditating about that will raise us to a place, opening the window, as a Zohar is saying, in which we can control the forces around us. Then you look into the window that is called Dalet, controlling Mars. What Mars is about, as we said, hunger. Necessity is the mother of all invention. Strong drives, motivations, creativity, daring, wars and blood. And the Talmud is saying, being under the influence of Mars, you could be a killer. You can be a hunter. You can be a warrior. You can do horrible stuff. You can also be a surgeon. You can also be a mohel. Okay, you can also be a butcher. Your choice. It's your attitude. So this is a great time we're facing. Just embrace yourself. Make sure you really put effort in your spiritual growth. And we will succeed to have whatever is happening just to rise above the waves. Remember, the letters of the month, Nun and Dalet, it's Dalen, judgment, turn around, it's Ned. Ned in Hebrew is a tidal wave. The flood happened on the 17th day of Cheshvan. Okay? The flood was about finishing what didn't work anymore, giving space, revolution, space for something new. Something more productive. That was what the flood was about. When you have a great wave, a tidal wave, Ned, some people surf and some people drown. Let us be the winners that surf, but for that, we need a great sail of hope, faith, integrity, and following all of that, what is called covenant, the Brit. Wishing good luck to all of us. Thank you so much.